how much grace do you need from God, at least at the very beginning? Please think about that as we close our study of the book of Philippians today.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great.
Friends, and good morning. My name is Don Rule, and this radio program is called Perception, a work and ministry of the Nile Street Church of Christ. A few years ago, there was a preacher by the name of A.B. Earle who visited the Bunker Hill Monument. And he says, I really got a fine lesson from it. He continued to say, after paying the small fee to the man who has the care of the monument, he gave me a small lamp to light my steps. Now, he wrote this back in the 19th century. And he continued, I took the lamp and stepped inside on the stone floor. And as the winding stone stairs are inside, I looked up, far up its rugged steep, and at once called back to the man in charge and made reference to the lamp. And he says, this won't do. It don't light a quarter of the steps. Look up there. Well, the man smiled at his words, and he said, you are not up there yet. Is it not bright enough on the first step where you want to put your foot? A.B. Earle said, oh, I see. It is all right. My lamp is large enough. I only need one step lighted at a time. So I started on, taking one step at a time, my lamp lighting each step as I went upward until I had lighted every one of the 295 steps. Then I began to inquire how much grace from Christ I needed to start with. Like the little lamp shining on each step as I advanced, so I needed enough grace to take the first step in the Christian journey. With that story in mind, let's look now at the closing verses of the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, 19-23. And right now I'll read verses 19 and 20, where Paul speaks of glory. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Last week, I ended verses 10 through 18 by asking, is it possible that if I am content and give liberally, that I will end up with nothing? I then answered with, he who is content will not worry about it. Moreover, when we conclude next week with Philippians 4, 19-23, we'll see the answer. Well, friends, the answer is that God shall supply all our need. Those Philippians could rest assured, Paul was teaching, that what they had given to God will be amply repaid by Him from the limitless resources of His riches. The Philippians had fully supplied Paul's need. That's what we saw last week. So God would fully supply their need. 2 Corinthians 9 contains a promise that every zealous Christian has found to be true. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He has the resources, for he has riches and glory that he makes available to us through Christ. In the book of Philippians, Paul just has literally been connecting everything in life to Christ. Now, looking carefully again at Philippians 4:19, one preacher has said this. He's called this verse the Christian's banknote. Here's how he does that. The president, my God, the promise to pay, shall supply, the amount, all your need, of the capital of the bank, according to his riches and glory, the cashier, by Jesus Christ. One preacher in England in the 19th century said, my grandfather was a very poor minister and kept a cow, which was a great help in the support of his 10 children. But the cow took the staggers, that's when a cow is poisoned and staggers, has respiratory failure, and then dies. What will we do now? Asked my grandmother. I cannot tell what we shall do now, he replied, but I know what God will do. God will provide for us in some way, of that I am quite sure. He knows that the children need milk and food. The next morning, he received £20 from the fund for the relief of ministers. He had never made application for it, yet the Lord knew and sent. Have faith in God. He's going to take care of you. If you're doing his will, if you're doing his work, he will take care of you. So now in Philippians 4:20, again Paul said, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. This is the life of the Christian. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God, as Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 10:31. If I want to reap glory, then I must first sow glory. If I glorify God, he shall glorify me. If I learn to see that he is the center of the universe rather than me, he will invite me to join him at the center. Paul ended Philippians 4:20 with a one-word sentence, Amen. If we step back for a moment and look over this glorious book and its teachings, we will say with Paul, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And to strengthen our desire for God to be glorified, we will seal that praise with a hearty Amen. Here is what the book of Philippians has shown us. In chapter 1, verse 6, we had that theme verse that God will complete the good work that he has begun in us. Chapter 1 could be summarized like this. We have fellowship with God's children in the gospel. Chapter 2. We have the gift of humility to bring us together. Chapter 3. We know Jesus Christ. And chapter 4. We have the peace of God. Having said those things, having given God the glory, Paul now gives a final exhortation in verses 21 and 22 that they should greet one another. He said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. My dear friends, please do not think that these last verses in the book of Philippians are insignificant. First, the Holy Spirit wanted these verses in the Scriptures. If you think these verses are insignificant, just notice your reaction when you visit a church and no one greets you. You will then see how important these words are. You see, Christianity is the religion of goodwill, and that's what's being taught here. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Everyone in the church is your friend. If you are uncomfortable greeting someone, then just keep in mind that the Holy Spirit, not Don Rule, is telling you to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. If we cannot greet every saint in Christ Jesus, then we might know the facts of the book of Philippians, but those facts have not yet touched our hearts. For example, you may know the exact argument in showing that Philippians 2:6, for example, does not mean that Jesus gave up being God while in the flesh. But if you cannot practice the reason that Paul even brought that up, then we've missed the point. You see, verses 1 through 4 was showing that we should be endeared to one another. Do you not know how much your greeting affects others? People who go to the church, or people who speak to you, may have been rejected by society, their family, their friends, who knows. They need to know that they're accepted by you. So Paul then said, continuing there in Philippians 4, 21 and then 22, "The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." Why was it important for Paul to tell the Philippians that the brethren in jail with him greeted them, that the brethren throughout Rome greeted them, and that brethren in Caesar's household greeted them? Greetings let the recipient know that you are thinking of them. I mean, do you not like to know that someone is thinking about you? This also sent the message that those brethren in jail also had the same spirit as Paul, that is, a non-complaining spirit. They had one that was content and rejoiced in all situations because they were not anxious about life, but had the peace of God. It sent the message that the members of the church in wicked Rome were thriving. It sent the message that some members, either of Caesar's family or servants, had been converted to Christ. Think about Caesar's family or servants or both being converted to Christ. This Roman Caesar to whom Paul alludes was Nero, and he was a wicked man. The height of this man's wickedness was displayed when he committed matricide. Do you know what that is? Killing your own mother. He set his own capital city, Rome, on fire, and then blamed it on Christians. He dressed Christians in the skins of wild animals so that dogs would tear the Christians in pieces. He captured Christians and covered their bodies with pitch, set them on fire to light his parties, and so persecuted the people of God. And those around Nero would be wicked also. However, gospel converts the wicked who open their hearts. This Nero is the very Roman Caesar who would have Paul beheaded. Nero probably thought that he had wiped Christianity off the planet by killing one of its chief preachers. Little did Nero know that, according to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, Nero was part of a statue that had legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. Little did Nero know that the stone of Nebuchadnezzar's dream had already been cut out without hands and been thrown at the statue's feet, and the great statue was ready to make its long fall. For there were some in Nero's household who had been converted to the true Lord. How encouraging it is to read of saints in Caesar's household. Indeed, we can live right under adverse circumstances. I mean, there's Joseph in Egypt. There's Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's court. There's Vashti, as well as Esther, in the Shushan palace of Ahasuerus. And it can still be done. People can live right in the armed forces, in a public high school, on a non-Christian university or college campus, on a job where Christian principles are not highly regarded. True, it may be more difficult, but it can be done. Remember, in those kind of circumstances, that the world at its worst needs Christians at their best. I think also these greetings show that the early church was close. The members cared for one another. They were concerned about each other. They wanted to know each other. Now, having said those things, let's read the very last words of the book of Philippians, where it speaks of grace. This is Philippians 4:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It is this unmerited favor of God, manifested in Jesus Christ, which has been the determining influence in Paul's own preaching career. In grace, Paul, or God, had laid hold of Paul when he was on his way to Damascus and transformed him from a persecutor into an apostle. Grace enabled him to sing songs in the night and in the darkness of his Roman prison cell to write to the Philippians this letter of joy. He could breathe no better prayer for these loyal friends than that of the grace of God revealed through Jesus Christ, and that it would be multiplied toward them. Let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ work in your life. An ounce of quiet, working grace does what tons of effort can never accomplish. There is a saving grace for sinners and a serving grace for Christians. The Father, God the Father, never fails to cheer our hearts with sweet surprises of His grace. He hides them through all our years, and every day we find them with old and new friends, with the joys of home, with new aspirations, new fields of labor, new knowledge, new understandings about who Jesus is, new experiences that we have with Christ. And often these things, it's almost as though they fall into our laps when we're least expecting them. This is God's antidote for weariness and dullness in life. We can greet each day with expectancy. We can grow old gracefully, eagerly waiting to know what it is, what is that grandest gift of all? Eternal life with God in heaven. Sin had no sooner come into the world than God came in grace seeking the sinner. And so from the first question of, Adam, where are you? On to the incarnation, that is when Jesus took on human flesh, God has been speaking to man. God's providence will never place you where His grace cannot keep you. Therefore, one who is saved by grace should live graciously. Is that not logical? Amen, Paul says now. The last word of Philippians. Amen. Can we not all agree with these things? Let all the things in Philippians and at the close of this joyful letter be so, which is what amen means. Let us imitate the message of the book of Philippians. Friends, what Paul said in Philippians 1:6, I also say to you, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I really believe those things. And I say those things not only because we've come to the end of the book of Philippians, but also the end of my work with this radio program. Starting next week, Woody Hensley, the Nile Street preacher, will start doing these sermons. I've been doing these since, I believe it was August of 1985, always with KGO, 1150 on their AM station, at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. And it's been a pleasure. There's just been two times where I was off the air for a very short time, once for 10 months, another time for about 3 months. But I've really enjoyed doing these. I've enjoyed getting to know you. Many of you have come and worshiped with us. Some of you have been baptized, and we've been delighted by that. Now, coming back here to Philippians, I want you to think about the closing verses and see this. Grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. When the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, it's like polishing metal. You know, at first the surface is opaque, but you keep on shining it and shining it and shining it. And the image gets brighter and brighter until finally it's almost like a mirror. You can see a perfect image in it, perhaps of yourself or something else. Also, the grace of Christ comes into the world, or into the soul, just like the morning sun comes into the world. First there's that dawning, you know, and then it's a light, and finally the sun is in its full strength and brightness. Dear friends, let us please imitate what we have seen in the closing verses. Believe that God shall take care of you as you take care of His work. Let glorifying God in all that you do be the driving force in your daily living. Be tenderly affectionate toward every saint in Christ. Live joyfully in the grace of Jesus Christ. To every one of you who may not be Christians, you too can experience what the Philippians had. So let me take you to the book of Acts and show you the beginning of the Philippian church. We're actually told about the first couple of people who were converted in the city of Philippi. I want to read about the second account. This is found in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where a question is given by one of the first Philippians that Paul converted. This man said to Paul and to Silas, who was with him, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The very next verse, verse 31, gives the answer. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Paul continued to speak more about Jesus. For it says in verse 32, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." This man's faith was not dead. He did not have faith alone, but he acted upon it. And so verse 33 continues to say, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized." Then you will see this man experiencing one of the chief blessings of the book of Philippians. For it now says in verse 34, "Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his house." Rejoicing in the Lord. That has also been a major theme of the book of Philippians. And this man, because he believed with his whole heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he served some preachers in the church and was filled with good works, and because he was baptized into Christ, he now could believe, he could now rejoice, knowing that he had believed in the true and living God and turned his life over to him. Now he would live by faith. Not faith in himself, not faith in the Roman government, not faith in nature, not faith in anything else, but in God through Jesus Christ. Are you there yet? Are you at that point? If not, why not? Is there something we can do to help you, to get you to that point that this jailer here was at with Paul? You can either get a hold of me or Woody Hensley, the preacher of the Nile Street Church of Christ. You can look in the yellow pages under Church of Christ. There you see an ad for the Nile Street Church. There's the phone number, the address, a map on how to get to the building, worship times, and so on. You could also call me in Grants Pass at 541-476-3100. Or you can just go on the web to GrantsPassChurchOfChrist.com. And there you'll see how you can get a hold of me, and we could talk some more if you have any questions or anything you'd like to say about the book of Philippians. But I would love to know that you have started worshiping with the Nile Street Church, and they would be delighted to have you with them as well. As I said before, today is my last program, and I encourage you to listen to Woody Hensley, who will start preaching on this or in this time slot next Sunday. It has been a delight to get to know many people in the Klamath Falls area. For 20 years, I first started preaching in Klamath Falls in December 1983, 20 years ago. It's really been a delight. And we're trying to get a radio program going on in the Grants Pass Medford area, and if so, perhaps I'll pass a note along to Woody, and if you're able to get that program in Klamath Falls, then you can continue to listen to the messages that I bring from the Word of God as well. But till next Sunday, my friends, may God bless you richly. May you sharpen your perception about glorifying God, about greeting every saint, and about living in the grace of Christ. This has been Perception with Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. God bless you.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered cross makes me whole, saves my soul, washes white earthly snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love. Just when hope seems to end, welcome faith, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace, faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful Jesus is his name.